You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Okay, so we need a divine help to go through this passage. So let's pray together this morning. Thank you, God, for the music, because through music we can express what we believe, and we just sing the gospel this morning, and also we want to leave the gospel. This is what we believe. This is what we want to remind every day in our lives. So today in this passage, God, just help us to find, remember the truth, learn new things, and also leave it in our daily life. Even this morning, applying it, finding ways to leave the gospel and to remember the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We pray in that precious name of your Son. Amen. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. Those are the verses we read this morning too. And they're divided. I divided in two questions. Verses 1 and 2 are one question I'm going to tell you, and 3 and 4 is a different question that I'm asking to the text. But before we read and go through the verses, you probably know about the news. You probably have a channel in the TV or an internet. You go and watch the news, and if you watch the news, you're going to mostly see sad news, right? Everything is sad. It's at least 95, 98, 99% of news are sad. Accidents on the highway, shootings in the city, children who are mistreated, and many other bad things that happen in our city and in the world. We couldn't spend the whole day just listening to the news, and as a result, we will be into discouragement and also depression maybe. We must take care of what we see and what we hear. Other way, we're going to be very discouraged. But why bad news takes so much discouragement in our lives? That's natural. If you are just listening to bad things, you're going to feel bad. And there's very little good news, right? Sometimes we watch a good news and TV or internet, and we just are glad that something good happened in the world. But when those good news come, and we realize that something good is happening, they make a marked contrast between the bad news and this good news, and just change the mood. And there is a feeling of hope and relief, because at last something good is happening in our city or in the world. So for example, when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in 2016, and there was surely a lot of joy in the city. Or, like when the White Sox won the World Series in 2005, surely the Cubs fans were happy because the White Sox were representing in a good way the city, right? Well, the point is that good news will help us balance our lives in the midst of a negative world. And a good example is what is happening right now in Venezuela. President Maduro, ended two diplomatic relations with Colombia. And there is much poverty in Venezuela. But humanitarian help arrives from Brazil, and they managed to cross the border where they were closed. And a lot of people going hungry in Venezuela receive food. We must pray for them. We must pray for help, for the gospel in that place. But as you can see, bad things happening and also good things happen. And people who is going through this trouble just receive this huge help. And then they just change their lives, right, for the good news. So my point is that the good news gives us hope after we know bad news. Is if everything we saw and live were negative, we would not have hope. And that is how many people find a suicide in a way out. Because they think it's better to go out of this world and go to the unknown. And in that way, they're gonna be free. But that is the worst decision a person could make. Suicide is never a solution, but it makes everything worse. Of all the good news we could know, there are some that have remained for generations. Because good news comes and goes. And then good news are forgotten. But the good news of Christ has remained alive from generations since the beginning. And the good news of God have been proclaimed since the beginning of the creation of the world. And are still proclaimed this morning in this place. And in many other places and churches around the world. So in 1 Corinthians, as I told you, we're going to see verses 3 and 4 first. And then we're going to go back to verses 1 and 2. And verse 3 and 4, we're going to answer the question, what is the gospel? So we're going to define answering the question through these two verses. What is the gospel? Verses 3 and 4. And verse 1 and 2, we're going to see what we have to do with the gospel. But before that, see what says verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. So what Apostle Paul is saying, there are many teachings he can deliver to the Corinthians and to us today. But the first and most important good news and things that he can teach is the gospel. So verse 1 is saying that what is he teaching in these verses is the gospel. Verse 1 says, now I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. So in verse 1, he's saying, this is the gospel. And in verse 3 and 4, he's saying, the gospel is this. So what is the gospel? Verse 3 and 4, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. So the gospel is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. What else? The gospel is that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. So that's the gospel. Verse 3 and 4, gospel is as simple as that. Okay, so and the thing that is more important for Apostle Paul to share is what the gospel is. So, but we need to understand what he's saying because we have the definition, but sometimes we just read the definitions in the dictionary. We have no idea even though we read the definition. You probably understand, but we're going to go deep and see some of the words that appear in verse 3 and 4. First of all, is verse 3 says that Christ died for our sins. We are going to define who Christ is. We know what is to die. But we're going to define what is sin, okay? So the problem here, and this is a problem, this is a negative thing, these are the bad news, is sin. Sin is bad news. Sin is something bad. So to understand what the good news is, the good news of God is, we need to understand that there is some bad news. We don't need good news if we don't have bad news, right? So the bad news are sin of man. So let's talk about how sin came to the world. In Genesis chapter 1, we can read, in the beginning God created the world. And at the end of chapter 1, God is saying something like, and behold, it was very good. Everything God created when he had done everything, behold, was very good. Nothing bad in his creation. So the original design of God was perfect. A time in which there was no malice, envy, death, greed, bad thoughts, gossip. Nothing of that existed. And the man and woman lived in fullness, working in the tasks that God had assigned them, but without suffering or any pain. But that God warned man and woman that they should not eat the fruit of the tree that was in the middle of the garden. But man and woman disobeyed God. And this is the way how the Bible is teaching us that sin came into the world. And also the Bible is teaching us that the first man in the earth had a name. And his name was Adam. And Adam was created perfect by God, designed to live eternally. He wasn't designed to die, but to live eternally. However, Adam's sins brought consequences to his life and also to the lives of all his children, which is us. We are born in sin because our father, Adam, sinned. All generations of humanity come from the union of that man and that woman, Eve. We are children of Adam and Eve. Those are the two only persons that God created, from the dust of the dirt of the earth, the dirt, and also from the rib of Adam, God created Eve. And from them, we are coming. They are our fathers. Now the consequences, let's talk about, now we know that sin is disobeying God, but the consequences of sin. This is something that we sometimes don't want to talk about. But if we see that we are sinners because we do what God says, our Creator says that we shouldn't do, and we do that exactly. God says, do not lie, and we lie. God says, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not covet. And that is exactly what we do. We disobey all those commandments of God. So to be a sinner, like our father Adam, we only need to sin once. So if you, in your whole life, you have failed just once, that is enough to qualify yourself as a sinner. Thus you are a sinner, I am a sinner, we are all sinners. And the Bible teaches that we are sinners. Now the consequences of being a sinner are very clear in the Bible. For our sin, we deserve death, the Bible says. And To be a little bit more descriptive about what is the consequence of sin, Mark 9:43 says, Jesus is talking here, he says, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. So there is a new concept, hell, a place where fire never ends. And there is suffering. Hell is mentioned many times by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. But the concept also of a lake of fire appears on Revelation. It's a place that is a place of suffering, designed for the devil and the angels that follow him and disobedience to God, but also a place where many people will also spend eternity in suffering. So Revelations chapter 20 says, verse 10, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then verse 15 says, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So these are the bad news. The bad news is not just sin, but the consequences of sin. We offended God with our sin. We are all sinners, condemned and deserving to be thrown in the lake of fire and spend our eternity in that place. We have to realize that. We already have Christ. You say, I receive Christ. I am sure that I have Christ. I will not spend eternity there, but you deserve it. I deserve it because of my sin, because of my revelation, my, my, my relation with God, against God. I said what I shouldn't say, and I did what I shouldn't do. So when we know the bad news, we understand the need for a solution. And that is the good news. Now everything makes sense. We have good news. We have hope. Christ died for our sins. Now this makes more sense. He died for our sins. We are lost. We are unable to save ourselves. Thus we recognize that God is the only one who can save us. I can't take myself out of the lake of fire. So I need an external help. Somebody who extends his hand and take me out of the hole that I'm in. So I have the need of a savior, and that savior is God. The man disobeyed God's commandment not to eat the fruit, and he sinned for the first time. Immediately after having sinned, man hide from God. God was going through the garden, and man was hidden in the garden. But God did not abandon man, but he went over to man and confronted him. All this God did because he wanted to save and restore man. And there, the Bible is saying there is need of somebody dying. The first dead we see in the Bible, if you read Genesis chapter 3, the fall, we see the first dead, and that is the dead of some animals that God sacrificed to clothe the nakedness of Adam and Eve. They wanted to cover the nakedness with leaves of trees, but God covered them with coats of skins. The nakedness of man was covered with the death of those animals. And this is one of the first pictures we have of the gospel. Somebody else dying to cover our nakedness, to cover our death. So we can ask to ourselves, well, why did God not just said, you know what, I'm God, I'm going to do whatever I want. So you sin, but I forgive you. I'm going to clean your mind and heart, and you are pardoned. Why? Why did Jesus have to die? Why Christ had to go to the cross and die for us? That's because God is a righteous God, and he do not miss to his word. He's not like man. Man said one thing and do a different one. But God said one thing and he did what he said. He said, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And he did what he said. Since Adam sinned, he died. He's not here today. And also all his children, all the people in this room and in the world, in all generations, also die. However, there's another beautiful attribute of God, and it's his love. God does not abandon us. He remains faithful to his righteousness, but he's also love. And he provided a solution that was planned before the foundation of the world. The death of man would be suffered by someone else, the Christ of God, the Messiah. In the same way that the animal death to cover the nakedness of man, also Christ died to cover our death. So Luke 23:46 says something that is sad but also beautiful. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. He died. Jesus died on the cross. As a man, he died. He died for us. Christ Jesus willingly gave his life as a sacrifice for us. With his death, he satisfied the word of God when he said, if you eat of that fruit, you will die. But he took our place and he died for us. He died for Adam. But this is not the whole gospel. There is something else. 1 Corinthians 15:4. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. One Friday afternoon, the body of the Lord Jesus was placed dead in the tomb. On Sunday morning, some woman came to the tomb and found the stone that covered the entrance moved, but the body of Jesus wasn't there. Jesus appeared to his disciples and told them, see my hands and my feet, that is I myself, touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. Jesus Christ resurrected in his body of flesh and bones, and with a glorified body he appeared with the holes in his hands and his feet to the disciples. And he lived today. But also, Apostle Paul explained it very good in verses 20 to 22, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall be made alive. So our father Adam brought us death, but our Lord Jesus Christ is bringing us life. So we have a better Adam, Jesus Christ. The first Adam brought us death, but Jesus Christ brought us life. Now, what we should do with the gospel? Now we know what is the gospel. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. So he conquered death and sin, and he has given us life. But what is the answer of man? What we should do as people, as God's creation, in answer to the gospel? So I took four verbs. And I have two points. Two verbs is one point, and two other verbs is the second point of what we should do with the gospel. So let's read verse 1 and 2. Now, says Apostle Paul, I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel to you. So what they did, which you received. So there's the first verb. You received. In which you stand. There's the second one. They receive. They stand. Verse number 2. And by which you are being saved. There's the result. If you hold fast. There's the third one. Hold fast to the word I preach to you. Unless you believe in vain. And there's the fourth one. Believe. So the two points are. Number 1. What we should do with the gospel. Is believe and receive. You believe the gospel. You receive the gospel from verse 1 and 2. When you have the knowledge, you understand what the gospel is. That is not enough. But you need to believe and receive what the gospel is. The demons know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God. But they do not receive that truth. So even though that is a work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is teaching us to have an answer to that and say, I believe, I receive the gospel. But first, you need to understand, because Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel, so they need to hear to the gospel. And a very accurate, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 1 and verse 12. You probably know it by memory, but John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There are the two verbs, believing and receiving. The answer to God is believe and receive the gospel. And then the result is being saved. The result, as John says, is being children of God. So before we were not children of God. We were creation of God, but not children of God, until we believe and receive the gospel, the Son of Jesus Christ. So number two, it's verse 1 and 2 is, you stand and you hold fast. So I put it in two different verbs from different translations. You persevere and retain. So what do you have to do with the gospel? So you already, first step, you believe and receive. Now you have to persevere in the gospel. And you have to hold fast. You have to retain the gospel. Because the gospel is not something that saved you in the past. Something that happened in April 24 of 1994. And I was saved. And that was the day the gospel came to my life. It wasn't like that. The gospel is still with me today and should be every day in every area of my life. And that's why Apostle Paul is saying you have to persevere and you have to hold fast. You have to retain the gospel that you believe. Unless what? Unless you believe in vain. So there are some people that could believe the gospel in vain. And Apostle Paul is not saying, because you have to see the whole theology of salvation. He's not saying you lose your salvation. He's saying you believe in vain. You never were saved in Jesus. So you have to persevere. You have to retain and hold fast to the gospel. Let the gospel of Christ make an impact in every area of your life. Persevere in the gospel of Christ. He who believes in the gospel of Christ is saved. That's what the verse says. And by which you are being saved. But saved from what? He who believes, or she who believes, is saved from spiritual death. He or she is saved from hell. He or she is saved from the lake of fire. He is saved from despair. He is saved from ignorance. He is saved from spiritual blindness. He or she is saved from the wrath of God. He or she is saved from eternal damnation. And maybe you wonder, that's something in the future, but what does the gospel have on my life in this world today? And the answer is in everything. The gospel of Christ must be received, and then it is necessary to persevere in it, as Apostle Paul is saying. This means that the way you educate your children is directly influenced by the gospel. The decisions you make in your family, in your work, in your community, it's influenced and impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. To persevere in the gospel is to give everything to Christ, so that the first thing in your life and your decisions are based in Christ Jesus. And the wonderful thing about the gospel of Christ is that you can say with Apostle Paul those words of victory that appear in verse 15 and 58. So come, go with me to 1 Corinthians 55. Because he's closing, he's talking about the gospel. In all his explanation, in verses 15, 55 to 58. Let's read it together. Okay, let's read it. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So much words of hope, knowing that death has no victory anymore over us, because we have victory in Jesus Christ. He overcome death. He overcome sin. So we are free if you believe and if you persevere in the gospel. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning, for your word, for everything you are teaching us today through these beautiful verses in 1 Corinthians. Maybe much more to learn in 58 verses of exposition of the gospel and defending the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he lives today. And that's why we are here. Because we have that hope, and we are 100% sure. And our foundation, the foundation of our faith, is in Jesus Christ. But also we want to live every day in our lives, taking our decisions, thinking what Christ wants. What is the best way to live the gospel? So help us as church also to be a blessing for many other people in this community. Also in the places we live with our neighbors, in the places we study in our schools, the places we work in our jobs. Help us, Lord, to be a light. Because this gospel, this good news, need to be known for other people. We already receive and believe to the gospel. But we need to say this gospel, to tell other people about this wonderful truth of Jesus Christ. In that beautiful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.